better if I turn it on. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 with me. And then I'd like to invite you to stand if you're able. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer together. And I'd like to invite you to stand and let's read. And not just read, but let's pray these words together. So please read along with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. Well, we're working our way through the Lord's Prayer during this Lenten season, line by line. And so far, and rightly so, the focus of the prayer has been on our Heavenly Father. His name, His kingdom, His will. But today, we come to verse 11, where we come into view a little bit more clearly. Our needs take center stage in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the first of a few proper requests that Jesus invites us to make to the Father. And of all the requests in the Lord's Prayer, my guess is this is the one that trips people like us up more than the others. Asking God for forgiveness is kind of a no-brainer. Asking God to protect us, lead us from temptation and evil, no-brainer. We know we need God to do those things for us. But for people like us, and by that I mean people with refrigerators, pantries, and Costco, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of times we zoom through the daily bread part of the prayer without a whole lot of conviction. Which is interesting, because of all the requests of this prayer, daily bread is our most obvious, pressing, and tangible need. Your body's going to tell you if you don't eat. You could go years without giving or receiving forgiveness. But if you don't eat food, you're going to die. And even so, when it comes to this part of the Lord's Prayer, I bet most of us lack conviction. Because if we pray it at all, we're probably praying it with full bellies and full pantries. Now let me state the obvious. I'm preaching to us. There are people in our city who don't have full bellies and full pantries. There are people around the world who won't eat today and don't know when their next meal is coming. Of course, the people Jesus was originally speaking to were living much more day to day than we are as far as food supply goes. And I know there are people in this room who have lived stretches of your own life not knowing where your next meal is coming from. But most of us didn't wake up this morning and pray for daily bread because we weren't actually sure we were going to have food to eat today. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty for having weeks' worth of food in our kitchens. I don't think that's God's heart. But I do want to suggest that even if you do have weeks worth of food in your kitchen, this request for daily bread belongs right in the middle of your daily conversation with your Heavenly Father. We can and we should pray these words with conviction and sincerity, because behind the facade of our full bellies, full pantries, and even full bank accounts, there is a truer story of our immense day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute neediness, weakness, fragility, and utter dependence on our Father who's in heaven. Don't let full bellies and full pantries fool you. So Jesus is inviting us to live and to pray according to reality. Not according to appearances, not according to how you feel, not according to mistaken senses of security or self-sufficiency, according to reality. The Lord's Prayer in its entirety is meant to reorient our lives to what's real. That's what we're seeking each week as we look at the parts of the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're seeking today as we look at this first request. This one simple request, give us this day our daily bread, invites us to reorient our lives in at least four ways. So may the Lord use his word this morning to align our hearts with what is true. So four ways we'll walk through one by one that the request, give us this day our daily bread, ought to reorient our lives to what is actually true. Way number one, give us this day our daily bread, reorients us to our utter neediness. When I say that the Lord's Prayer reorients our lives, I mean something like what Paul and Peter meant when they talked to Christians about being sober-minded. We are vulnerable to intoxicating influences that can lead us to lose touch with reality, the way a drunken man can lose touch with reality when he's intoxicated with alcohol. For us, one of the most intoxicating, dangerously intoxicating influences in our lives is the wealth and abundance that we live in. Our bellies are full. Our pantries are full. Maybe our bank accounts are full. And that can trick us. That can trick us into forgetting how incredibly needy and dependent we are hour by hour. Even if you don't feel wealthy, most of us weren't concerned with whether or not we're going to have food to eat today. And if you are, please talk to somebody before you leave. When Jesus included the words, give us this day our daily bread, he had a story in mind. The concept of daily bread had a long and storied history in the hearts of the people Jesus was talking to. I hope it does in ours as well. If you were to turn in your Bible all the way back to Exodus, second book of the Old Testament, you could read the foundational story of God's redemptive relationship with his people. How he delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And you could read about how he sent 10 plagues to convince the Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go. And you could read how he opened the Red Sea so that his people could walk through to safety. And you could read about how he closed the Red Sea to swallow up the army that was chasing his people. And how he promised them a new home in a new land flowing with milk and honey. And then in Exodus 16, we find this newly freed people moving through the wilderness on their way home and hungry. Go back and read the whole story later, but here's what happened. The people of Israel get a few days into the wilderness on the other side of deliverance. after God's miraculous deliverance from Egypt. And we're told that a few days in, the whole congregation starts complaining. It goes something like this. Hey God, what is wrong with you? Why did you bring us out of Egypt just to starve us in the wilderness? We had it better in Egypt. At least we had food. And here's God's response in Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Gather a day's portion of bread every day. This was God's plan for feeding his hungry people as they wandered through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Daily bread. This is the story Jesus certainly had in mind when he included this petition. Now here's what happened next in Exodus 16. I think it'll show up above my head. And in the morning, when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was, which is usually why you ask. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry at them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. When God wanted to raise up a people to be his people, who would walk in his law, he trained them by causing them to rely on him day by day for their needs. Not a weekly food truck dump. Not a monthly Costco run. Bread from heaven, one day at a time. And if your faith faltered, and you got a little panic in, you decided to store some up for tomorrow, it got wormy and stanky. Gather today's bread, God said, and then trust me again tomorrow. Now, obviously, God didn't have to do it like this, right? He's God. He could have made it so that they just never felt hungry till they got to the promised land. He could have made humans to only need food once a year. He could have filled the wilderness with all kinds of Willy Wonka food 24/7 so that they could just snack along the way. He could have given every family a cooler with wheels so they could pack their food for the week. Infinite possibilities. But evidently, God's preferred training program for his people is one day at a time dependence. Now, let me be clear. I am not so bold as to say that I envy that level of daily dependence for food. I'm not that super spiritual. I'm thankful for a pantry full of food, I'll be honest. But I think that we would have to admit that full pantries might have a weakening effect on our faith. full pantries might take our eyes off the reality that we are utterly dependent on God for life itself every second of every day. Most commentators agree that daily bread in the Lord's Prayer doesn't only mean food. It's shorthand for daily necessities, the basic things we all need to stay alive from one day to the next. When God trained the Israelites in the wilderness to depend on Him for daily bread, He was opening their eyes to something that was already true, always had been true, and always will be true. We are dependent creatures. We're not self-sufficient, but needy. We're not strong, but fragile. We're not infinite, but brief. Every day we live, every moment of those days, we are at the mercy of God, who is life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Apart from Him, we are lifeless. That goes for every person who's ever lived, whether they acknowledge God or not. Unbelievers are being kept alive by the God they deny. That's mercy. But for us, who can draw the line between ourselves and those ancient Israelites, people redeemed from slavery, given new life, promised a new home, how much more should we live self-consciously aware of our utter dependence on our Heavenly Father day by day by day? If everyone could just pull out your fob and click alarm. Black Mustang. Everybody close your eyes. We might have full bellies, full pantries, and full bank accounts. But if God decides today's your last day, today's your last day. If God were for a single second to withdraw His hand from your life, you would not have life. You could eat all the food in the world today, and if God decides it's not going to nourish your body, there's nothing you can do about it. We might have grocery stores and gardens. But as Psalm 104 says, You, God, cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and bread to strengthen man's heart. You do that. We are utterly needy creatures, dependent, fragile, and brief. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer intended to reorient our hearts to our utter neediness, to teach us to live consciously as those who look to our Heavenly Father for all things pertaining to life. Let these words cultivate in you a humble heart before your Heavenly Father. And as you see yourself more accurately, you'll begin to see Him more accurately. Which leads us to number two. Give us this day our daily bread. Secondly, reorients us to God's great faithfulness. God created us needy on purpose. Self-sufficient was never the goal. Independent was never the goal. When Jesus told His disciples we must become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, He was revealing the kind of relationship that we were created to have with our Heavenly Father. Little and needy. Don't get so grown up and so self-sufficient that you forget your utter neediness and God's great faithfulness. Remember, of all the ways that God could have designed things, he certainly didn't need to make it so that he was daily responsible for taking care of the needs of his children. He's got lots of things to do. Taking care of our daily necessities is a pretty involved and attentive undertaking. But this is exactly what he's committed himself to. This is how he wanted our relationship to function. We need, he provides. Think about what this says about God's heart for a second. It is his delight to provide for his children. Consider the different ways that he wanted to express his heart to us in poetry alone. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing." Lamentations 3 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." King David wrote in Psalm 37, as an old man, he said, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously." The simple prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is literally bursting with realities about God's heart that he wants us to live in every single day. Shortly after Jesus taught his disciples this prayer, he said these familiar words, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now let's be real. We might not be worried today about food or water or clothing, but that doesn't stop us from being anxious, does it? Somewhere deep down in all of us, I think, is that burning question, am I going to be okay? Jesus' answer to that question all throughout the Gospels is not, "Nothing bad will ever happen to you." His answer to our worries and our fears is always, "But remember your Father. Remember how attentive he is to you. He knows what you need before you even ask. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Remember how purely good he is. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Remember how merciful he is. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Remember how much you matter to him. He feeds the birds every day. You are so much more valuable to him than birds. Remember your Father. He has kept you alive every second of your life. He will keep you and be with you every second until he decides to bring you to himself. Give us this day our daily bread isn't a prayer that sets the limits of God's care for you. It's a prayer that expresses how limitless his care is for you, now and forevermore. Let these words cultivate in you a heart of peace. You are going to be okay. You are well-fathered. And let these words cultivate in you a heart of gratitude toward your Heavenly Father, who is daily taking care of you down to the smallest details of your life. In the words of the Apostle Paul, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He is faithful. Number three. Give us this day our daily bread. Reorients us toward contented and generous living. Listen to this prayer from Proverbs 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't let me be too poor. Don't let me be too rich. Give me just enough. Only people who understand their hearts pray prayers like that. Again, most Bible commentators that I studied were quick to point out that give us this day our daily bread is very purposefully a prayer of contentment. Pastor H.B. Charles says it this way. He says, this is a prayer for bread, not for cake. For need, not for greed. For necessities, not for luxuries. My three-year-old daughter asked me the other night when I was putting her to bed if she could have ice cream for breakfast the next morning. As if she was trying to give me a sermon illustration. We can make all kinds of requests to God. But like the prayer of Proverbs 30, we should be careful what we ask for because our hearts don't stay put very well. And we shouldn't make the mistake of believing that God has promised to provide things to us that he hasn't actually promised to provide for us. If my daughter wakes up angry because there's no ice cream on the breakfast table, it's not because I'm a liar. It's probably because I'm loving her better than she can understand. But she will have food. Again, I'm preaching to us. People with full bellies and full pantries. Our lives of excess are not benign. It was not stingy or cruel for God to make the bread wormy and stinky for those who tried to hoard it. It was kind and wise and protective. He wants his people to live contented lives, trusting in his provision day by day. That's good for us. The Apostle Paul understood this goal of contentment and the associated danger very well, and he wrote this in 1 Timothy 6. Writing, he says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of the world, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, and it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Let the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, cultivate in you a heart of contentment. Let it put guards on your heart. Not on God's, but guards on your heart for the kinds of things you long for and seek him for. Be on guard against all greed, which is a silent assassin. Aim for simplicity. Aim for generosity. When you find yourself with more than your share of daily bread, which is most of us, that is a signal that you're called to be generous. That your role is to participate with God, boots on the ground, in providing the needs of those who have less. Remember how it happened with those in the wilderness. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. It's our privilege and responsibility to take what he gives us and look out for each other. I think we probably need years of sermons on this alone. But for today, let these words of the Lord's Prayer cultivate and reorient our hearts towards contented and generous living. But let's move to number four. Number four, give us this day our daily bread, reorients us toward our deepest need. We are utterly needy, but it's way deeper than we think. According to God himself, our physical neediness has been designed to point us to an even deeper neediness. After 40 years in the wilderness, gathering bread day by day, the people of Israel stood ready to enter the promised land, and Moses stood up and preached a sermon. And in that sermon, he looked back on their 40 years of wandering that brought them to this point. And he interpreted for them some of the things that God had been doing in those 40 years. Here's what he said, Deuteronomy 8. He said, "And he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know." Why? "So that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." If those words sound familiar, it's because Jesus quoted them when he was hungry in his own wilderness and Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is often God's way. He uses physical realities that we can see and feel to teach us about spiritual realities that are more mysterious to us. Like how Jesus told agricultural parables to teach about the kingdom of heaven. Just ask the youth. Just ask the youth. We practiced this, you guys. Talk about feeling alone. But this physical symbol of a spiritual reality, this one is core to what it means to be human. God made our bodies to need food day by day in order to grow healthy and strong. He created us this way to teach us about a deeper need, a spiritual need. The same way our bodies need food in order to be alive and to grow, our souls need the Word of God in order to be alive and to grow. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it is not less than a prayer for our physical needs, but it is more than that. It's always been God's design to correlate food for our bodies with food for our souls. The one is meant to point us to the other. The hunger pains our bodies feel when we haven't eaten food are meant to remind us that our souls will grow weak and famished if we aren't feasting on the Word of God. Most of the times I have felt spiritually weak or empty in my life, I can draw some kind of line back to my relationship with the Word of God. It's not to say that reading the Bible is some kind of a magic pill, that as long as you just graze your eyes over a page, you're going to be spiritually vibrant. But it does mean that feasting on God's Word, meditating or chewing on it like in Psalm 1, that is the tried and tested way of spiritual growth and life for God's people. Always has been. Still is. Going all the way back to the wilderness and even before that, was it not a failure to cling to God's word in the garden that plunged us into death in the first place? Our bodies need food and our souls need the word of God. How often? How often do you eat? I love what the prophet Jeremiah said to God one day. He said, God, your words were found, and I ate them. How's your feasting? You taking care of your soul as well as you take care of your body? Let the words of the Lord's Prayer reorient you to your deepest need. And let them cultivate in you, day by day, an increased hunger for and habit of feasting on the words of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Words that can reorient us to our utter neediness, God's great faithfulness, toward contented and generous living, and toward our deepest spiritual need. Let's learn to pray these words with conviction and sincerity as the Lord Jesus intended. We have every need to. And most of all, let's cultivate hearts of worship for the one who's teaching us how to pray in the first place. He not only teaches us how to pray, he's the reason we have access to God at all. He's the only reason we can pray and be heard. At a different point in Jesus' ministry, not the Sermon on the Mount, the topic of bread came up again. Jesus had just performed one of his best known miracles, feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And the following day, some people started questioning Jesus. He said, if you're somebody special, prove it. Moses gave our people bread back in the wilderness. What are you going to do? This is recorded in John chapter 6. And let's pick up at verse 32. It should show up above my head. They said, this is what Moses did. What are you going to do, Jesus? And Jesus said to them this, truly, truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, dwelt among us and offered up his body so that we might live. He was in the form of God, but he emptied himself, took on flesh, humbled himself to be daily needy for bread himself, and then humbled himself further by giving his life as bread for the world. It's obviously shocking and graphic language for Jesus to say, you must eat my flesh to have life. But make no mistake, the way Jesus gave life and brought redemption was entirely shocking and graphic. But this is what we do symbolically every Sunday when we take the Lord's Supper. We look at Jesus who says, if you want life, you have to eat my flesh. And we say, okay. And we remember what he did. And we remember the cross, where his body was torn and his blood was poured out. And he says, I'm doing this that you might have life. If you're serving the Lord's Supper, would you come start to make your way to the front? That's how we're about to finish. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Those who live by faith in Jesus acknowledge that we have life precisely because Jesus, the bread of life, came from the Father to bring life to the world. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, in a minute people are going to come forward and take the bread and the cup as an act of worship, as an act of dependence on this life that Jesus gives. If you're not following Jesus, we just invite you to stay in your seat. We're not trying to judge you or leave you out, but this is something that the Bible gives to us, Jesus gives to us as an act of ongoing discipleship. It's an act of worship that expresses our dependence. So if you're not following Jesus, you can stay in your seat, maybe spend some time praying, maybe spend some time thinking, at least spend some time in quiet. But we'd invite you to consider who Jesus is as well. Consider his offer of life. For those who are living by faith in Jesus, who are walking by faith, let's come together again this morning and let's feast on the body and blood of our Redeemer. You may come as your row is dismissed.